we're not doing Sermon on the Steps because we have a baptism, just so you won't think I forgot. We're going to go on to the baptism. So we'll call the kids down for that in just a minute. What's in a name? When we hear that question, our minds probably rush to the Capulets and Montagues of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, where Juliet tries to convince both herself and her lover that his name is really of no worth to his true identity. And we know that, although we might wish it were not true, Juliet is wrong. There is a lot in a name, even if a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Names and naming are important, not only as we bring new members into our biological family, but as we bring new members into the body of Christ through baptism. To name something or someone, at least in our tradition of faith, is to have responsibility for that which we name. In naming, we are making the one named our own. So naming is important, and I think names are as important as well. I think, at least to some degree, our names impact who we are. Parents fret and plan for months and maybe even years what they will name their babies. In many places, there is a tradition of giving a baby a name of a family member, perhaps honoring a grandparent or a favorite aunt or uncle that is deceased. Sometimes names are taken from mentors or heroes or friends, not only to honor that individual, but in hopes that the child will follow in his or her footsteps. Sometimes names have particular meaning or references. I saw a post on a friend's Facebook page written by a friend of hers this week named Precious. I wonder if that was an apt descriptor of this woman in adulthood or was merely a name that was good for infancy. There are thousands of books of names and hundreds of thousands of sites on the internet that will tell you what your name means. Probably some are actually accurate. The one I happened upon was not. Having the name Lee, L-E-E, means apparently that I have a meticulous sense of detail and impatient. That's what this site said. The other things that I said were mostly true, but those two are blatantly not. But my name fits me, or I fit my name. Lee is short, to the point, nothing too fluffy or frilly, and since my name is spelled like a boy's name, it is a bit of an unpredictability about it. There's more to it than what you expect. I like that. I was named just as you were, at birth and in baptism. Today, in just a few moments, we will baptize Caroline Augusta Kramer, and we will ask her parents and her godparents to name her. We will baptize her in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then, as we make the sign of the cross on her tiny little forehead, we will do so using that name, Caroline Augusta. And we will mark her as Christ's own forever. She will not only be the responsibility of her parents and her family and her godparents, but she will be the responsibility of us all, and claimed and named as God's own child. Not only will we acknowledge that claim in her naming and our responsibility for her life, we will also acknowledge that Caroline Augusta is called by God. Naming and calling are foundations of the journey of Christianity. They're inseparable. Those who have been named have been called. In our reading today, the themes of calling and naming are both very present. We hear from Isaiah that God, who formed him in the womb, knew him even then and called him to bring back Jacob. Remember Jacob, the one who struggled with God and then was renamed Israel by God in the developing relationship between God and God's people. Isaiah, called to be a prophet, known by God, and sent to bring back God's people that he chose to be. Come back to God, Isaiah says to the people, because you have been chosen to be the light of the world, to show the way to God. That is your calling, God's people, to show the way to God. It's fine. Hi, Rob. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, also talks about his calling to be an apostle, one who is closest follower of Christ. Remember Paul, who was Saul, renamed by God and called in his name to have a total change of heart, mind, and soul, and to go out to the Gentiles and spread the news of Christ, to share with the people of God the news of Christ's victory over death and the freedom from sin that can be had by all. Okay, fine, you may be thinking, Isaiah, Paul, I'm not going to be a prophet or an apostle or a priest or a monk or a missionary or any other full-time vocation. I'm not called. It's unfortunate that the word call has come to imply a path that requires ordination or going to a third world country to spread the gospel. Those various offices or vocations are calls, but they're not the only way that God calls his people, nor are they more important than any other call from God. Before I was called to be a priest, I was called to be a wife and mother and a social worker to those who are at the end of their lives, and none of those calls are of more value or of less. Jesus, we hear today, has begun calling his disciples. John the Baptist has pointed the way to Jesus. That was his call. And now two of John's disciples find Jesus and follow him to the place where he is staying. One of those two is Andrew, who leaves the gathering to get his brother. This is something too good to keep to yourself. This is the Messiah, the one for whom we have waited forever. I've got to share this news, thinks Andrew. So he runs home and brings his brother Simon to experience this for himself. As Simon arrives, Jesus knows him, sees into his heart, and names him Cephas, the Hebrew word for stone, which in Greek is Peter, stone. Matthew has Peter's naming paired with his calling, as Jesus said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Each of us has been named, and each of us has been called. This is truth, and this is fact. Each of us have been given gifts to support our calling. This too is truth, and this too is fact. Know this. You have been called by God to ministry in the world. We've all been called to spread the good news of Christ to the world. That's our shared calling as followers of Christ. Or, as is stated in the outline of faith, also known as the Catechism, on page 855 in the Book of Common Prayer, don't look, I will read it to you. The ministry of laypersons, and this is also good for bishops, priests, and deacons, is to represent Christ and his church, to bear witness to him wherever they may be, and according to the gifts given them, to carry on Christ's work of reconciliation in the world and to take their place in life, worship, and governance of the church. There are no loopholes in that statement. Did you notice that it didn't say if they have gifts, but according to the gifts given them? Each of us has been named, called, and gifted by God for use in the world. No excuses. Amen.